Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oh. Recording in progress.
What in the name of Jesus is that? And is it's definitely going to the clouder, is it? I think there's a little cloud in the top. I just pressed record. It didn't even kind of give me the option of going like, to the clouder to the computer.
That's all right. We'll find it either way.
Recording now.
Right. Hello and welcome to this week's Snowcast. Guys, really, really sorry. We know that she... were salivating at the mouth for the pints, and your earwax was tumbling out of your ears at the background noise last week's podcast.
Both ew. Before...
what?
Ew. Your earwax.
I like to paint a picture with my words. But this week, we're back on the Zoom this week. We did have a pint this week, a sneaky one, but it was just the one.
It was just the one. But what a glorious, glorious one it was. We got great feedback there on the last episode. I think you all enjoyed it. So yeah, hopefully one of many more to come of us being back in a pub and having a crack and chatting shit and talking to barmen and talking to bowsies around us.
People watching
and people chatting and people drifting and...
Got me with the days where a Yank and a Scot would wander onto the podcast by accident midway through.
Yeah, got me with the days. Please listen to our back catalogue.
Yeah.
to catch up on those hijinks.
It's pure muck, but yeah, we had a fight today. We started playing five side every week on a Friday after work just to kind of, you know, I suppose, what's the glue and jig? You know, get the old knees going.
Get the knees going.
The glue jig, like. We started playing five-side on a Friday, and we had this opportunity today because we finished work, and it was an hour and a half between finishing work and the five-side. So we thought to ourselves, sure, like, a point to make us play better. And I thought it did.
Yeah, there was a good bit of confidence now out of me.
Yeah. And I was trying stuff now that I wouldn't have tried. Only for the pint.
Yeah, and it almost came off as well, a lot of them. But yeah, Jesus, I'm so buzzing now, like, for the pubs to reopen fully. It's been great, like, having the few pints in places, like, or not in places, outside of places. Maybe a few places are a little bit on the cusp of being indoor or outdoor, but... the less you say about that, the better.
Yeah, let's not get anyone in trouble.
No, definitely not. But and I don't think there'll be anybody. I think everybody's playing a little bit at it, but they're right too. There's massive reduction in risk with vaccinations and stuff. So I think pubs are kind of salivating to get out there and go and give their best. And it's just kind of. It's just a little bit unfair that places that have the kind of outdoor area are able to kind of profit from it now.
Whatever about getting in there. So one of our politicians was on today saying that the 26th at the latest.
26th of July at the latest, yeah.
For the indoors,
yeah. I'd say our foreigners listen are like, what the hell are these lads playing at? How come they're not in a pub? Yeah, we're just I don't know if slow is the right word, but we're more cautious to open back up. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. But again, like, what's the story with opening back up? Is it going to be 2 meter distancing, 6 at a table, 3 at a table, 2, so one on your lap, one on your knee?
The kicking thing is they don't know.
They don't that'd know exactly.
What would be a different gloom jig now if you had one on your knee? Like, the thing is, you know, they'll say X, Y, or Z now, and then in the build up to it, they'll push for more liberal opening up. And then when it comes down to it, they'll rein it back in.
Yeah.
And we've danced to this tune a half dozen times now since this pandemic began. So looking forward to getting back in a high stool, having a pint. Did I say the 26th on my pint watch last week? Did I say that I think that they've caved to the pressure?
I think you might have. Yeah, I think you might have said we'll push it a week.
Stefan Varadkar, boy, we're like that. We're like two peas in a pod.
You're the inside man. You're the fella that he was leaking to.
Leo the leak, and I'm the hole in the boat. I'm the hole in the boat. Anyways, speaking of holes, have you seen on the article in today's Irish Times? For listeners abroad, the Irish Times is one of the popular newspapers over here. So I'll give you the headline of the article. Heineken's new stout. Its head is creamier than Guinness's, but does it taste as good? If I was to say to you, Heineken were going to come up with a stout and put it out a mass market, let's be honest, how bad a name do you think they could come up with?
Like, you think they might go with, like, you know, they might just go like Heineken Stout, or they might just kind of go like something trendy, like the, you know, I don't know. Stout kind of has to be, like, it has to be a name, or it has to be like something kind of like Irish, kind of like mythological or something, you know. So anyway, what have they come up with them?
So I'll tell you what, I'll rattle off a few names of some quality independent Irish stouts, independently brewed Irish stouts, and we'll see what we think of them. So Blackstick and Sales one, World's End.
Great, right? Yeah. Again, kind of like mythologically, kind of taley, you know, that kind of way. It's like,
yeah,
it's of kind of Lord of the Rings, or, you know, yeah, Discworld kind of job. Like, it's kind of a bit fantasy sounding, isn't it? The World's End.
On that team, 12 Acres, Winter is Coming.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
On that team, Oh Brother, Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but then, like, talking then about, say, almost science fiction-y, or into the, like, the big black universe, Lineman, Astral Grains.
Yeah.
So these are all, like, you can see that, like, you know, a nice dark kind of theme. Or the ultimate stout name, Brehin, Ulster Black.
Yeah. You have Captain's Table.
Captain's Table. Yanaradi by Kinnegar.
Yeah.
They're both good name. Festinuda by the White Hag.
Yeah.
You know, some quality names there, like Pandanero by Brew is a great name for a stout.
Mm.
So Heineken with their Heineken probably have more marketing advisors and PR people than fucking their name and Ryan. And they come up with the name Ireland's Edge.
Ireland's edge.
Yeah. Ireland's edge. Ireland's edge.
Ireland's edge.
That's Ireland. Nearly worse.
I don't know which is better or which is worse. Ireland's edge. Right.
So I'll tell you a good one, right?
Right.
Talking about these marketing bowsies and gobdaws. So in the article in the Irish Times, the chap, the interviewer, the journalist says to them, why is Heineken releasing Ireland's Edge, a third stout? Because they own Murphy's and Beamish now, because they bought those breweries in the past. And the answer from the marketing manager for stout at Heineken said, we wanted to expand the category, to rejuvenate it and offer the consumer a new style of stout. The market had no innovation and was really quite stagnant. We wanted to offer something different to consumers, to appeal to people who hadn't considered stout before. Now, let's call a spade. I just rattled off the name of 10 independent Irish stouts that have gone into the market the last couple of years. What sort of shiteology are Heineken at all here? Eh?
That's, it's so narrow-minded, isn't it? That like the that they're thinking so macro-based on the market, knowing all too well that the micro breweries or your independent breweries are eating into their market at the moment at a much better rate, and I'd say at a much higher rate. I'd love to see now what the percentage is post mid pandemic, but because I definitely think people were kind of more getting into the independent brewery offerings, because definitely like when I went down to Killarney Dingle. Sorry, when I went down to Dingle there recently, like there was like way more offerings in like pubs and in supermarkets, and even like just from looking yourself, like imagine like say picture us in college, right? There was nothing in Tesco, and there was nothing in Lidl, or there was nothing in a Centra or anything apart from your boxes of Coors or your six pack of Dutch Gold, or you know. Whereas now, like they have a full fridge full of these things on offer of the independent craft beers on offer. So I don't know what Paula Conlon is talking about at all.
We're calling them Paula Conlon and the head brewer PJ Tierney. We're calling them out live on podcast.
Oh, well, yeah, it's in the article.
But I have to, like, do you know what? I'm actually, I'm going to, like, full credit to Rascals, right? They put a great tweet up today. And what I loved about it was it showed, like, the collectivistic nature of independent Irish brewing, how they all row behind each other, support each other, back each other. Rascals put up a tweet, and it was a clipping of loads of different stouts that all different Irish independent brewers do. With this quote about offering something different in a stagnant stout market, basically called Heineken a load of shite.
Yeah.
Which I thought was brilliant. Fair play to Rascals. And I said to you before we came online one that, like, Rascals have a really, really good social media presence, a really strong one. Joe from Rascals is often on, like, Tonight, the Tonight Show on Virgin Media, and really prominent, and you know, he'd be on really prominent radio shows and TV shows quite often, talking about beer and food. You'd see him on the telly a good bit. So like, I think, like, Rascals have a good profile in Ireland. So for them to call this out, and to call it out not by saying, look what we have, but to call it out by saying, look what we all have collectively, what I thought was a brilliant touch. And do you know what? If someone offered me a pint of Ireland's Edge, I'd rather fucking take the pledge.
I'd agree with you in that, because I think that just by completely neglecting to acknowledge the the independent breweries, the independent brewers, with that quote is, it's actually just really insulting, isn't it? And for that, I wouldn't. But the stout itself, it sounds very odd, doesn't it? So there's, so it says they have chocolate malts in it, and roasted coffee. So classic, what you would kind of taste in those like coffee stouts or chocolatey kind of stouts or whatever. But they said that they're also adding in tea and basil. So they said they're going to have a very, very subtle minty aftertaste and like this kind of hint of basil taste. I'm not sure now at all about this.
I tell you what, no. I just, like, there's nothing about this appeals to me. The producer of it doesn't appeal to me. The name doesn't appeal to me. The description of a chocolate and coffee stout with tea and basil as aftertaste doesn't appeal to me. The fact that, like you said, the shithawkery, a complete ignorance of the fact that, like, you go on to Beer Cloud tonight. It's not even stout season right now.
Yeah.
And you go on to Beer Cloud tonight and you can order, you know, 17, 18 stouts from all different parts of the country. It's insulting to independent brewers. It's insulting to beer consumers to be putting that shite out there. You'd be a bit annoyed at the Irish Times editorial for publishing that muck. And yeah, best of luck to them. They're going to roll out in 300 Dublin pubs over the coming months and then off trade and the rest of the country. I hope it tanks. I hope it tanks a big, dirty debt. I hope it goes right off the island's edge and down to the bottom of the ocean and never comes back.
I want to give a quick shout out to at Soccer Stash on Twitter, who says, the flavour description sounds like taking a sip of a pre-existing stout immediately after brushing your teeth.
As top notch.
But you're dead right though. Like I wouldn't I don't think I would be I don't think this thing is going to succeed at all. Like these macro companies tend to do this quite often where they just kind of get bored and they offer out Guinness Light or, you know, whatever. And they all just tank, like they all just end up tanking anyway. Like they have their core range and they are successful in their macro kind of light tasting beers. And like, that's what they're been successful at, like, you know? So I don't see this one as succeeding at all. And it's going to, it's just going to fall off Island's Edge.
Well, I tell you what, right? Actually, I'm gonna steal something from another podcast. Recently, I was listening to the New Brew podcast with Tomás Mahuna, and he was talking to St. Mel's Brewery, and they were talking about, you know, Cute Whore, Hop House 13, these kind of drinks that we would have drank 5-6 years ago. It was actually almost like they described us. And the guy from St. Mel's was saying that, look, like, you know, Tomás is asking him what did he think of those type of drinks and the, like, you know, what did they mean for craft beer? And he was saying that, look, like, leave Diageo, go off and push Cute Whore and all this kind of stuff. And Island's Edge being another one of these yokes where they're trying to get clever with their brewing and trying to push this, like, you know, crafty style on people. He made a great point about, like, you know, at the end of the day, Cute Whore got people trying more ales. People who were drinking Hop House 13 4 or 5 years ago are probably now drinking like farmhouse saisons, like we do. I bought that Loch Avore Gorse
by Wicklow Wolf, is it?
By Wicklow Wolf there today. I can't wait to have a try off it. You know, these are drinks that 5-6 years ago we probably wouldn't have been brave enough to try. But But maybe there's a bit of truth and there's a bit of self-denial in us to admit it, that, you know, these type of beers play a role inadvertently to the macros in pushing people to try. Like if they say, oh, Heineken are bringing out this new stout, you know, I'll try that. And then, oh, it'll push me to try something else. Maybe there's a bit of truth to that. Like, I thought that was a really refreshing, different take on it. That was an angle I hadn't thought of previously. But yeah, Island's Edge. I just thought it would be a funny little chat to have today, considering they released that. Considering they released that article today in the Irish Times, it was interesting. Like, but look, like you said, there's just nothing about it that appeals to me. That description of, drinking a pint of fucking Guinness and then brushing your teeth immediately after.
What in there? I've a thought in my head here now, right? What would you think of if, like, instead of like these big macro breweries going out and trying to create these new innovative beers, like if they supported like local breweries and like took them on contract or something, you know?
You lose the independence then.
Yeah, I know you lose the independence.
Do you lose some of your autonomy, you know?
But I suppose for a beer, like for a singular beer, just a thought. It's just weird that. I'm trying to just think from, I suppose, Heineken's perspective, that I think that this kind of innovation thing doesn't seem to succeed as much as it does. But actually what ends up succeeding more so for them is acquisitions and people buying like Franciscan Well and things like that, that actually from the macro brewery's point of view, that's probably a better strategy than what they're doing this way.
Possibly, but we don't want them to do that, though, do we?
We don't want them to do it, no. But I'm just like
spitball.
What are they? Yeah.
I like it when they spitball.
Yeah,
interesting. The exact opposite to a macro brewery, and I think the business model I absolutely adore, I think is a brilliant business model, and it's something I'd love to see more of on this island, is the idea of a cooperative that anyone can buy into for a relatively affordable amount. And there's a great example of a cooperative there up the country, on, and I can see a licking the top of a can of one of them there. Our good friends, even though we've never met or spoken to any of them, our good friends at Boundary Brewing, a cooperative brewery owned by its members. Isn't that just like the most incredible business model going?
And I do think you're right. I think there should be more of that kind of going on, where maybe not like solely owned by members or whatever, but maybe like ability to pitch in and invest in companies somewhat in order to get benefits. So I know what helped BrewDog in the UK escalate so much is that they went and allowed like startup investment in theirs, you know, and that, you know, even with a small-ish investment sum, that you get a card off of them and that you get a 10% off your pints in a BrewDog pub, and you also get like one or two free pints on your birthday or something like that, you know. And so like, you know, very small token gestures that, you know, you can kind of invest in the company and allow it to kind of get bigger and grow. And if the company ends up succeeding, all the better for you, because your investment, you know, is able to grow as well with that. I think it's probably something that's missing a little bit, maybe that little bit of business acumen. to help those companies who are on the cusp of going from being a local kind of county brewery and are looking to, you know, maybe set up a canning line or set up, you know, expand into shops nationwide, or, you know, or even look at the export market or something like that, that, you know, it's an awful, it can be an awful cost on a brewery to get that capital to kind of grow the business. So yeah, I think it's really cool. Like,
yeah, but as well, like, what I love about, so we're coming up to the Pils and Proud now, guys. That's what we're talking about, Boundary, because we got a Pils by them. Very serious situation. It's a 4.8%er. We got this lovely 440ml can. It's a crisp, refreshing Pils, generously hopped with Tetnang, which
Tetnang.
I think is a, like, it's a hop. I don't think I'm familiar with it. I don't.
I've never seen it.
I don't remember seeing it, but I definitely, it gives a kind of unique taste. And yeah, we'll get into the score and the Pilsner probably in a minute, but I love as well that, like, we've remarked on every time we've gone to the Clint over the last month or so about breweries' cans, how good they look. And this is another part about their business model that I love. So the artwork is by a guy, John Robinson Art, who's an artist in Belfast. So again, like, it's locally owned. It's owned by its members, producing local independent beer. And then, like, for their canning, like, they're supporting local artists as well. Like, that's just incredible. It deserves a major shout-out, like, major recognition. Fair play to Boundary up in Belfast there.
Yeah. No, that artwork is always really cool for theirs. You know, it's kind of, I don't know, is it like... it's kind of like just always kind of like paint flicks and like really kind of cool just colors and stuff. It actually kind of like makes the name on the can, which is just in like a kind of like a, I don't know, an Arial or a Helvetica font or something on the front of the can, just really stand out, like,
yeah.
And it really kind of shines.
It reminds you of, do you know when you have to stand the glass straight and then you just pour in straight down?
Yeah.
It reminds me of that splashing around. Good looking can now. Good looking can. But
yeah.
Enough about the praise now and all that. We need to put it through the mill.
Go for it.
So the Pilsner Proud. World famous Pilsner scoring tool. As has been commented on by both the Crack Beer Community and the Irish Beer Snob podcast. A world famous Pilsner scoring tool, featured on at least one other podcast. The Ghoul and Jeeg. So, actually, if you're new to the Snubcast, we've been doing this Pilsner Proud, we've been putting different lagers through this, and we're trying to basically find a beer that will match Puck Pilsner, which was this drink that we used to drink a couple of years ago before the brewery closed down. Jack Codby's up in Dundalk, I think it was one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So the Ghoul and Jeeg, basically, your Ghoul is your shoulder. It's the Irish word for shoulder. And what we want to know is, right, it's a Friday. Quitting time and work. You're headed straight to the pub. How much does this drink get your shoulders going? How much is the hop in the shoulders when you come in and you clap your hands together and you're sitting at the bar and Tom Ryan puts down this frosty pint of Very Serious Situation by Boundary Brewing down in front of you. There's condensation on the glass. The fucking head is flowing over, tipping over, dripping down the side. There's drool coming out your mouth. Right.
I'd say now, if I sat down at a bar and a pint of this was thrown out of me, I'd say I probably wouldn't talk to you for about half an hour. I'd be sipping away on it. Do you know what I mean?
I'd go the opposite way. If I managed to sit at the bar now and a pint of anything came out to me, I'd talk to you in 2 seconds because the pint would be gone.
Oh, I'm kind of going from the sense of I'm not much of a downer of a pint anyway, like, but
for this pint.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I'd be so enamored with the thing that I just keep kind of going back to it, which I have since the start of this podcast. I've been kind of like literally been drawn to my lips. But anyway, that's not really the question. What am I talking about? That's nothing to do with it. How would the shoulders be kind of, would they be going? Ah, they would. Yeah, they would. They would. They would. I'd say they'd be, maybe, what's the scoring on this again? 5 for 16, is it?
5 for 16, yeah.
I'd say 4 for 14.
So that's 350 a can.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're paying, you think it's more quality, but you're going to drink less of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I see what you're
for the shoulders, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I could see why you'd be really looking forward to a gullet of this, like. She'd fucking, yeah, I'm loose. My shoulders are going now, yeah.
Because we definitely have had ones that we've said are the kind of the settlers, the kind of the chatty ones, you know, they're kind of, this is a quiet day in the pub, like, you know, and this is one now you'd kind of sip and have a chat about. Whereas this is definitely the opposite. It's not a settler. It's a goer, like, you know. So you'd kind of, I'd get the shoulders, get them going.
Jesus, and they'll go, and they'll go. Yeah, 4 for 14. In that range.
In that range.
4 for 13, 4 for, yeah, we'll go 4 for 14.
Okay, cool.
So I'll mark the scores this week.
Okay.
Very serious. 4 for 14.
I think I need to update the spreadsheet as well from with our previous scores.
Yeah, we should have done the spreadsheet as a Google Doc so we could access it no matter what computer or phone we're on, and then we could have like had a link open, a non-editing link for the fans, they could go to whenever they want.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I'd say it's 2020. Speaking of 2020, it was a bad year. The Quivering Quencher. We were hit with the earthquake of COVID. The Quivering Quencher, right? So Quivering Quencher is the inverse Richter scale. So if 9 on a Richter scale is an earthquake of the equivalent of 30 trillion tons of dynamite.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the figure. That's the same figure we use weekly, yeah.
Oh yeah, it's fierce consistency on the podcast. What equivalent earthquake of your lip would this quench?
I don't know. I don't think it's as much of a quencher now as it is it's a lovely flavorsome herbally kind of drink, isn't it? It's kind of a bit, maybe, I don't know, it's a bit kind of sweet and like,
yeah, I think the hopping naughty. Of it,
huh?
No, I think it's the hopping of it.
Mm.
The fact that it's hopped, like, it's the malt you want, it's that pills malt you want to quench that thirst, and it's the hop for me makes it less of a quencher and more of a sipper.
Yeah. Yeah,
so like that quench, like to quench that, you want to pick the glass up and you want to shove your gob around it and you want your Adam's apple to do about 4 oscillations.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, you want to take a little swig, you want to roll it around your mouth, taste it, sip it.
Because this is why we're picking the pilsners. This is why we're picking the kind of lagers for this one. Today would have been the perfect day. We had the game of 5-a-side. You're absolutely quenched out of it, like, you know, the and like you want to, or you're, you know, what would be your reaction if this was kind of given to you as your quencher on that day, like, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a very good beer, but it's not a quencher. I'd go with, it's out of 9, isn't it? I'd go with like 2.1.
Yeah, we'll go with that, 2.1.
Yeah. We don't have the scores of the previous one, so we've nothing to base it off. Like you know, that whole Bohemian Pilsner, now that was a quencher.
Or the quencher.
Eucharius Pils, that was a quencher.
So, this is
different characteristics.
Yeah.
So the post pint gasp. So you take your first week.
Hold on 1 second now. 1 sec. Let me ready myself. Let me get me.
So you're in the pub. The boss, the big cheese and work has been hounding you all week. You sit down at the pub and you're going, Jesus, you're airing for us up. And you pick up the frosty glass with the head pouring down, as I described earlier. And you lift it up to your lips and you throw the golden nectar back down your throat and you place the glass back down on the table. What comes out of your mouth next?
Da.
Just that.
Just that.
Right. I think you're being harsh.
Am I?
I think so. I don't think it's bass.
I don't think it's bass, yeah.
But I think it's...
I think you'd go... The apostrophe, maybe.
I think that's...
Not even the full B.
Yeah, but you're saying the apostrophe, so we'll just say, ah, that's... We'll meet in the middle.
Yeah.
We're not selling this beer at all, and it's a lovely beer.
It's actually so good, yeah.
But that's the fucking... this Pilsner Prowl is a roller coaster.
It doesn't lie, you know.
Right, the jib of her.
Oh, very good jib.
Oh, like, 100%.
Like, this is definitely the most complex, I would say, Pilsner that we've had.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot going on with it, and it's all good.
But for a beer that has such... that has like a, you know, more than a two-dimensional taste profile. In terms of jib, like, what you want your Pilsner to just be that lovely color, that lovely...
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The well carbonated. You want to look at it and think, I fucking love to drink that. I think this is a Stonewall five jibber.
It's so complex. What you say? Went from, it's a three dimensional, is it? More than a two dimensional.
I don't know. I'm only fucking talking shite.
It's like when you're gone from Super Mario to Crash Bandicoot. You're getting a new perspective altogether.
Yeah, yeah. Both have their pros.
Yeah.
Right. So five jibs. So there's a fine jib on this beer. So puckability. Now, how would we describe puckability?
Pokeability is the relation to the beer Puck Pilsner by Jack Cody. But not only is it just the likability and the relationship to the beer itself, it's the way that beer made you feel, the way you started smiling in the morning when you thought about it, the way the last thing you thought about at night.
Pour moi,
yeah,
c'est très simple. Le pockability, c'est le quelque chose, je ne sais pas, c'est le vie en prose, la joie de vivre. It's just that unquantifiable, we're trying to quantify the unquantifiable.
Yeah.
It's that capability of a beer to just be the beer you want when you see it, even in the middle of a pack of lovely other beers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's do you know we talk about stout season and, you know, sours in the summer and pale ales in the fall.
Oh, yank! And like,
but this is trans-seasonal.
Trans-seasonal.
Or omni-seasonal, whatever, trans-seasonal, across all seasons.
Transcends the seasonality.
Exactly.
Right, so a very serious situation. That's the name of the beer, not the current situation.
Yeah.
On the podcast. Well, this is a very serious situation, though. Like, where does she lie on the puckability scale, as our friend Shane McNally set the scale on a score of 0 to 100,000.
I'd say it kind of goes an upper middle, I'd say. I think I'd be thinking about this for a while now.
See, I can't decide if it's, I can't decide if it's an incredibly nice one can beer, or if it's, because it's 4.8%, so you could drink a lot of it, like, and it's lovely, and it's almost like that hoppiness, that bit of hop in it gives it a touch of an ale, but. Yeah, I don't know. Like Puck Pilsner, the puckability does not necessarily mean it has to be a Pilsner. And this, for me, isn't the traditional Pilsner.
No, definitely not.
And yeah, I really like it. The more I drink of it, the more I like it. That being said, yeah, I don't know. It's a very confusing beer for me to process, in terms of, like, mainly because I don't have what the other scores we gave the other beers are in front of me as well. So I'm kind of like humming and hawing that if I give it a certain score, like, and if it's way ahead of Eucurious Pills, will I be kicking myself? Possibly. But I don't know. Out of 100,000, I'm going to say 50,001.
Yeah, I was thinking 61,004, but
so we'll meet in the middle and we call it 55,000. And 3.
Okay, perfect.
Great. So that's a very serious situation. It's gone through the rigmarole of the Pilsner Prowl. And basically we're going to give you a bonus this week, lads. We're going to take a break now and we're going to come back and run a second beer through the Pilsner Prowl. We're going to bring another delight to your lips.
Enjoy your this ears. Ad. For Ireland's Edge.
If Heidi can come on and start promoting that Ireland's Edge, lads, will you just fucking tell us? Tell us and we'll sort it out. We'll get on to the lads.
Yeah. We'll get on to PJ. Right, look. We are Boarding back in the
progress.
Zoom has done this really weird thing where they've started telling you when you're recording. It'd be funny if that appeared on the audio, like recording in progress.
I mean, yeah, probably. You'd imagine it would, like, I don't know. It threw me off a bit, to be quite honest with you.
I know, yeah. So we're back in the room and we are going on further on our adventure of the Pilsner Prowl, and we are heading over the river to the UK, and we're on Keller Pils by Lost and Grounded, who are a Bristol-based brewery. DJ, any stupid facts about Bristol that you know?
Yeah, I have some great facts about Bristol. Do you know that Bristol is the world's largest manufacturer of hot air balloons?
No. Why would I know that?
Also, Ribena was invented in the University of Bristol in 1953. At the National Fruit and Cider Institute. The Blackbeard, the pirate, he was from Bristol.
Oh, yeah.
The first bungee jump took place in Bristol. And also, the chocolate Easter egg was invented in Bristol. Like, Bristol's done a few good things, actually.
Yeah, I have a fact as well. I'm reading a book on the Troubles at the moment, and the RA bombed it in 1974.
That's true. Also, the HMV dog was born in Bristol.
Wow.
In 1884.
Good stuff.
HMV dog is as old as the GAA.
Wow. He's looking there well.
He is. It's also the home of Wallace and Gromit Chicken Run and Pirates, whatever Pirates is. And IMDb was created in Bristol.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
They invented blankets. A wool merchant called Edward Blanket invented the humble blanket.
Actually, here, I have a quick segue topic there for you, right? You're talking about IMDb, right? How do you kind of decide on films or TV shows or whatever? Like, would you be kind of going down the ratings route, or would you just kind of horse into whatever? Or
no, because I like a lot of shite, like.
Yeah.
You know, how do I decide on films? Actually, an awful lot of the time, it's through podcasts like Modern Escapism, we talk about films and that. So I would often watch a film if them lads recommended it. So there was a film recently I watched that was really, really good. What's his name was in it? Andy Samberg. It was one of these really good time. Do you know, like, it's really hard to do a good time loop films.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in 2020, a film came out and they talked about it, Modern Escapism, called Palm Springs, and it was Andy Samberg, and he was just like reliving the same day over and over again. It was his like girlfriend's sister's wedding, and his girlfriend dumps him on the day and stuff, and someone else gets trapped in the time loop with him. Then it's a really, really good film. So yeah, listen to people like that. I'm an absolute sucker for seeing a film on Sky that I might have seen when I was like, you know, that I might have seen 15 years ago and thought, oh, I'll watch that again because I can't remember anything about it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
watching it then.
So yeah, you'd I'd be kind of like that as well. I kind of find comfort in films, not really TV shows as much, but films I have already seen where I'm like, oh, I know that's a good film now. Because do you know, like, with films, it's like an hour and a half to 2.5 hours or whatever of, like, your time. So you want to know that you're kind of committing to something that's good, like, you know, whereas, like, a TV show, after, like, one or two episodes, you can kind of go, ah, this is a pile of shite, like, I'm not watching the rest of it, like, and you've kind of saved that time. But, like, with films, like, I kind of get where you're coming from, like, that, where you're I kind of remember this now, and I remember it was good. Like, I'll watch this one again.
Like, I watched Tenet because I hate that people were tweeting about it.
Hmm.
And I watched it, and I thought it was the biggest load of shite I've ever seen in my life. Now, your man, I love your man, the actor. the main fella in it, but I just thought it was brutal. I actually fell asleep halfway through it.
I think that was kind of the consensus about that film as well, wasn't it? That it was brutal enough. Like,
that's good. So yeah. I wasn't alone. So,
anyway,
pure walk, like.
And then I suppose for me, I would sometimes I'd kind of do the IMDb thing, you know, like especially when you're kind of like, right, I want a like a big meaty series now where there's like a pile of series already for it, like, you know, say when you went back and watched Breaking Bad or whatever.
Yeah.
Like something like that where you're like, right, what's something that I've kind of, I missed out on because of like, it was big in the US and we never had it when we were like, when we were younger or whatever. Like say like maybe 6 years ago or something, I watched The Sopranos for the first time, or even like Breaking Bad. I think I only kind of got on that when it was maybe like four seasons deep or something. I only kind of caught up with it then, like, you know.
Similarly now, like I watched Sons of Anarchy when it came out first. I watched like the first couple of series and then I kind of fell off it for a couple of years and then I caught up, but I started back where I had been watching it and I watched a bit and then I watched the end like as it came out. And I loved it, but I almost feel like I'm mad to watch it back because it didn't make full sense because I skipped a couple. I didn't skip any of it, but I had a couple of years where I didn't watch it at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the crack. Speaking of stuff, Owen, we're going to get into Pills of Proud. Before we get into the scoring, right, Lost and Found, it's Keller Pills. What do you make of it?
In general. The beer in general. It's a grand old yoke. It's a bit of a kind of a classic, like you definitely know it was an old Brit of a beer. Do you know what I mean? Like it's that kind of bitter, like, you know, it's
Yeah, actually, do you know what, right? The can, we were talking about the can. It's a lovely looking can. To some lad out rowing in a lake.
Yeah, the thing about that though is that like it's just a little bit sneaky. Like I always find like them British cans, like, you know what I mean? Like if they're like the Bishop's Finger or something like that, you know, or like St. George's, you know, thing, I'm like, ah, come on, lads, who do you think you are? You know, like that looks like
brown ale.
Exactly. Like this yoke, it looks like a Norwegian fjord on the front
of it. It does, actually.
With a fella opened it, and you're like I would, if I saw that, I would definitely say Scandinavian. Like even the
you font, said that.
You said that actually.
Yeah. In the brew, when we were in the plinth, you said that's definitely Scandinavian. But actually, here, wished. There's Scandinavian stuff in the back of this here.
Oh, what are they on? Oh yeah, two pants. Look, Stockholm Brewing Company. What's this? Imported, care of Stockholm Brewing Company.
Maybe it is Swedish.
Maybe it is Swedish. Maybe the
lads. Well, Brewers 91 Whitby Road. What's going on here, lads? I'd say this, do you know what it is? I reckon this is a Swedish beer that's been contract brewed in Bristol.
Oh, you're probably right, actually.
You should have had some Stockholm facts.
Oh.
Next time, lads. Do you know what, right? Speaking about the can, right? It's Lost and Found with Killer Pills. And then on the bottom it says, Hop Bitter Lager Beer. If you've watched any, if you've ever watched what you call it, like EastEnders or any of those like British not sitcoms, what are they again? Soaps. You'd know that like they just walk into the Queen Vic or whatever it's called, or the Lord Tilsley or whatever the name of the pub is, and they're like, a pint of bitter, please, or a pint of lager, point of hop. but like it reminds me because it says like hop bitter lager beer. It just reminds me of that Chumbawamba song, Tup Thumpin'. You know, he's like, he drinks a whiskey drink, he drinks a vodka drink, he drinks a hop drink, He drinks a beer drink. He drinks a lager drink. He drinks a beer drink. I was like, really thrown off by that. But yeah, tasting it, like, so the smell, we know I love a good smell. Yeah,
I want to go back to the soaps, right? Do you know the way that they say, like, can I get a pint of bitter or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of to do as well, isn't it, with, like, not having, like, products featured in the program?
But no, like, I think it's more to do with, like, the culture in most British pubs of, like, having cask ales or whatever, like.
Right.
So it's just whatever okay. The pub has, like, that fair. They ask for the style rather than...
Because I was going to ask, like, was this a thing whereby did the show influence, or did like, say, the culture or the society of ordering beer, did that influence the show, or did the show influence the culture and society of ordering beer? Like,
it's just one of those, like,
chicken and eggs.
We never know. Nobody knows. What came? It's like the chicken or the egg.
What came first?
The bitter or the...
The hop.
The hop. Well, I think this beer to me is bitter up front. Like, it's definitely bitter.
Yeah.
I don't get much hop.
No.
But maybe I'm hopped out from the one before.
Say something else.
But it is, I suppose, like, it's a less complex than a very serious situation by boundary, but it's more traditional to me, like.
Definitely, yeah. It's more classic. Let's go through the scale and let the figures do the talking.
Yeah, the Prowler's foolproof. It's goal proof.
Absolute fool proof.
It's a goal proof prowl. Right, so what's this fella called? LNG grounded pill or killer pills. So the Ghoul and Jig, Owen.
Ghoul and Jig. What's this one again? This is the 5 for 16, is it?
Yeah.
I don't think it would. I don't think I'd be running out of work. Like, I don't think I'd be, you know, hopping up and down, like, as if I'd hit a couple of speed bumps, you know, when I come out of work. Like, I don't think I'd be in that frame of mind going for this. It's more of a kind of a laid back drink, isn't it? I would say two for five. I would say.
Yeah. I think that's fair enough, yeah. Like, I was thinking it's a kind of drink you'd have with a barbecue, maybe, or...
Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah.
It's that kind of thing that you'd have fucked out you at the barbecue. Yeah, 2 for 5, yeah, I'd go with that. I was thinking 2 for 6, because I was saying 2 for 6 purely on the fact that, like, I think the quality is there.
Yeah.
It's just not...
Yeah, you could definitely drink a couple of these, all right, though, couldn't you?
Like, 100%.
Yeah.
2 for 5, so is it?
2 for 5, yeah.
Great. The Quivering Quench. I think this is going to be this beer's strongest score, personally.
I would say so as well, yeah.
That bitterness is lovely for now, quencheroony, like.
Yeah. And I'm kind of getting that kind of, like, salivation bits in the inside of my cheeks. I'm kind of getting, like, this kind of weird.
You want to get that looked at?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm getting this lovely.
Yeah, no, it does. It doesn't get the Ghoulin's jigging, but it definitely quenches the quiver.
It definitely does, yeah.
Exactly. I'd get, like, around a 9, like, so I'd go with a 6.8.
Yeah, that's a tremor, all right. Like, that's a tremor that's after being quenched, like, you know.
Yeah. I'd go with a 6.8 in terms of quenchability. Like, I think it's a right quencher now. That's why I was thinking barbecue as well. I was saying, like, a hot day, the fucking the steaks are on the grill.
Yeah.
one of these wouldn't be bad in that situation.
No, no, I totally agree with you.
You're better than a fucking Island's Edge.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Oh, jeez.
Could be good. The post-point gasp.
Okay, here we go. One second.
Again, I think, like, for me, I think it's a good quencher, it's a good gasper. But I think that's where it ends for me. It's fairly fucking simple, lads.
Yeah, I'd probably give it a that's bad. Maybe,
yeah.
I might even give it one. Would I even give it an S? Would I give it a bit of an S?
I don't think it's that good.
No, I think I'd give it
an S. It is good, like, but it's fairly fucking simple, lads. Drink goes in, gas comes out. This gasp is a that's bad.
That's bad. Yeah, okay. Let's go. Then ba-ba.
She's a sheep. She's a sheep. The jib of her. So.
And well, there was an awful lot of confusion around the can as well. I just want to add that in.
So Owen's giving the can no jibs.
Yeah. Zero jibs on the can front.
Is it Scandinavian? Is it Tandinavian? We still don't know.
And there's not much go out of her, like.
No, no.
I don't know.
What's this? Five jibs.
Jib and a half, maybe.
Jib and a half, yeah. Jib and a half. Jib gile. Right, pokeability. Ah, look. Like, it's a nice beer, but there's no fucking puck pills in her, like.
No.
Like, je sais quoi.
You know what?
It's fucking like out of 100,000 puckability wise, probably about a 45.
45. 100,000.
In terms of puck, like, but this is puckability. This is the, like, the ability for this drink to be your go-to drink above all other drinks.
Yeah,
so like that. It just it's not like it's. I hate talking bad about it. But I'm not bad mouthing this beer. It's a fine beer. It has its role. Yeah. But it has no puckability though.
You're being a bit harsh.
I think 46. What are you thinking? And what's your rationale?
I was thinking 49.
47, I'll meet you in the middle.
Okay, perfect, we'll do it.
Wait, 47. Great.
Cool.
That was good now. That's a very good quiver quench though. Like, you know, and in fairness, like, it has, you know, I don't like talking down beers, but it has its place. It's not terrible. It's not undrinkable. It's not like that fucking muck you were drinking at the start of the quiver, earlier in the early days. Remember the day of the Eucharist? We tried to do a different one each, made a muck of that.
That's what I was going to say. I think it'll be interesting, the findings from our research to determine the pros and cons of the strengths and weaknesses or limitations of some of these beers, you know, that. I think you know, it'll kind of sing to the strengths of some of them. And
do you know what we need to do?
Yeah, a lit review.
No, we don't need to do a lit review. Nobody ever needs to do a lit review ever. What we need to do is we need listeners of the podcast to take the beers that we've put through the gauntlet and give their own scores and send them to us.
Wait, what was if we do a Google Doc, and could we do like have a kind of a
munchie, I have one.
Munchie protected, Archie protected or something, and then leave the lads kind of score away.
We could do.
Could do.
Will we though? Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? We're bad at commitments.
Yeah, I actually, that'd be a nice little thing, like a little Google Doc database of like pilsners.
Yeah, okay, let's do it. We have, should we have the basis of it there anyway?
Yeah. And sure, like it's a food, as we said, it's a foolproof system. Anyone can do it. If we can do it, anyone can do it. That was good. Now
here's a quick one for you, right? What's your favorite flavor of fruit pastille?
Fruit pastille.
Yeah.
So my palate has changed over time. As a young lad, I was a fucking absolute sucker for the purples.
Mm.
I love the purples and I love the oranges.
Yeah.
But as I'm getting older, I have a huge appreciation for the sour ones, the yellow and the green.
Oh.
I love a green now these days.
God, that's out there now. Because yeah, definitely. I definitely would have been a big one, I'd say, on the orange and probably red ones when I was younger. But now I think you're probably right that I think I find the orange one a little too sweet now. Like there's nothing to cut out the sugar in it, like, you know. Whereas I think
yeah. You're right.
The greenies, them limey lads are good, and the purple guys are pretty good as well.
But weren't the purples so popular at one stage that they just brought a roll of purple?
I think so, yeah. Or the reds, maybe the purples, yeah. Or was it maybe a purple and red one or something?
I have it up here. They brought out a pack of purples.
A pack of purples.
Yeah.
Blackcurrant is the purple, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There was did this ever go around your school in back in the day? There was a rumor going around our school that all Skittles and all fruit pastilles were the same flavor and that it was just a trick of your mind.
Yeah, that went around us as well, like.
Yeah, it was pure bollocks though.
I don't know.
Or was it?
There's only one way to find out.
The pastille prowl.
Yeah. Imagine we just forgot about the pastille prowl. Like, just leave everyone hanging.
Yeah, the sugar cast. We're working our way through them, though. We have another... See, the thing is, like, we were doing a Pilsner Prowl, we were like, we got our hands on six or seven Pilsners. And then the moment we decided we'd do it, every brewery in the world was after bringing out a new Pilsner.
It's actually insane. Like, it's been so good for us, like, but it's put a lot more work on us that we were just going to finish off. But I think we probably have a good idea for when we're going to finish.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. But that being said, right, what's interesting to me is the amount of Pilsners that we've missed out on doing the recording on because of our technology and Wi-Fi issues, where we bought cans of really nice Pilsners and just drank them.
That's true, yeah. And as well, at the start of this as well, we also said that we were only going to pick ones that were going to be fairly core range, like, and you know, whereas I think we've kind of diverted away from that because this was meant to be our replacement for our Puck Pilsner. So I think we might have to, at the end of this, even though we've kind of scored a few, we might have to discount a few.
I disagree. I think what we need to do at the end of this, say for example, if the end of this, our conclusion is Hope's Bohemian Pilsner is the one to go forward. Say, like, it may or may not be, and we'll see. And I think we've already had discussions in previous podcasts about maybe we were harsh on certain Pilsners on the day, or, you know, it'll be interesting to see in hindsight which ones we might have scored harsher, but are more willing to go back to or have a fonder memory of retrospectively. But that's one that comes straight to mind. We could start a campaign to get that to become part of a core range for a brewery.
A campaign.
Yeah, but you say that, but by the time the campaign gets started, we'll be back in the pubs and we'll want it on draft.
A draft pain.
A keg pain.
Yeah, no. Look, we'll try our best with whoever comes out. Like, if it ends up being a edition coming out, that we try and make it a core range, then by Jesus.
So next week's podcast, we've a guest lined up who we've been in negotiations with for a long while. We're really looking forward to having them on. And we've agreed on a pilsner that we're going to run through the mill. And I might have cheated because I bought this pilsner. We bought this pilsner last week or the week before, and the recording fell through and we had to rearrange to no fault of our own, our guests. And I had them pilsners in the fridge and I had visitors down and we drank them. And I'm really looking forward to it. I have some big opinions on the next pilsner. And I can't wait to see what you and our next guest, who I think is really looking forward to putting a beer through the pilsner prowl that they haven't had before, is going to say about this beer.
Wow.
Let's leave the listeners on a cliffhanger.
I know. I was just thinking, like,
you're on a cliffhanger yourself now.
I was like, this is like a Finn Dwyer War of Independence episode.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to the War of Independence. Next week,
we're doing a pilsner.
Next week, I'll introduce Tom Barry as he shot a Brit in the head.
Drinking a pint of killer pills.
Puck pills. He disguised himself as a Scandinavian pills.
Brit.
Right. Yeah, guys, you know where you can find us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Snowcast. We love your feedback. We love when you get in touch. We love the DMs. We love the emails. We're the snowcast@gmail.com if you want to get in touch with that. We had a month where we just had no Wi-Fi, either of us really. So we weren't as active on social media as we were. But we're back tweeting nonsense again. Get on to us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, particularly Twitter and Instagram. Send us an email. And if you want to support us, we appreciate every bit of support we get as well to fund the podcast, to fund us getting better equipment for audio fidelity, which is hit or miss at times. And as well, to support us, like, there's so many places we want to go, but the Patreons can enable us at times to go up, like we did the last call series last year, when we thought the pubs were going to open up again with pubs from all around the country. And I would love nothing more than to be able to go to Limerick to Mother Max and sit down with Mike and have a pint in that bar, to go up to Swinford to Marie Mellet up there and look at it and drink pints in a bar that's been with a family for, you know, a lot of generations since the 18th century. We'd love to go up to Laois and spend a day drinking on Ballykilcavan's farm, that's been with that family for 13 generations. And that's the kind of content we want to bring to you. So if you fancy giving us the price of a cup of coffee or the price of a can of Lost and Grounded Killer Pills Hot Bit of Lager Beer, you can do that on www.patreon.com/snowcast. And there's a couple of tiers there for you. It's mucho apreciado. If not, and you just listen to us, the only thing we ask is you tell someone else to tune in. It helps the pod all the time. And guys, thanks for sticking with us. We had about a month there where we couldn't put anything out there. We're back now. We're back with a bang. And the Pilsner Prowl goes on.
It certainly does. It certainly does. We hopefully will have our next episode will be a Zoomer, but hopefully after that we'll be back in pubs and back meeting people and back chatting shite.
Well, I know. I'm opening up my calendar. We're in July now, aren't we?
July, please. I'm on my knees.
Yeah, next episode is Zoomer, and I reckon we can do a pubber the week after.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And if anybody has any connections with Centra Ireland, we'd love to get them on the podcast to discuss the Irish deli.
They liked one of our tweets earlier, but I asked them to
come on tonight.
But yeah, nothing. Sure, we're bastards.
But please, I don't think they don't stock pilsners. The bastards. Yeah,
we'll do. If we get Centra Ireland on the pod, we'll talk to them about chicken fillet rolls, and we put it up in Patreon only. Right, lads. Good luck, God bless. And listen, whatever you do yourselves, stay away from yourselves.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.